Satya-sya-upādhau-vai Umān-vasya-dināṇyatā शरीरान्यदा आत्मानमिन्द्रियार्थं च परं यदुभयोरपि सत्यस्य उपाधौ वै पुमान् पश्यति नान्यदा
for sense gratification,
param,
transcendental,
yet that
upayo,
both
api,
certainly,
sati,
being situated,
asaye,
material desires,
upadao, designation,
why,
Certainly, Puman,
person,
Pasyati,
sees,
Nahanyada,
not otherwise.
Translation: when the soul exists for sense gratification, he creates different desires, and for that reason it becomes subjected to designations. But when one is in the transcendental position, he's no longer interested in anything except fulfilling the desires of the Lord. Prabhupada, being covered by material desires, the spirit soul is also considered to be covered by designations that belong to a particular type of body. Thus, he considers himself an animal, man, demigod, bird, beast, etc. In so many ways, he is influenced by false identification caused by false egotism. And being covered by illusory material desires, he distinguishes between matter and spirit. When one is devoid of such distinctions, there is no longer a difference between matter and spirit. At that time, the spirit is the only predominating factor. As long as one is covered by material desires, he thinks himself the master or the enjoyer. Thus, he acts for sense gratification and becomes subjected to material pains, happiness, and distress. But when one is freed from such a concept of life, he is no longer subjected to designations, and he envisions everything as spiritual in connection with the Supreme Lord. This is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anasakta sa vishaya nyatatam upayunjata nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya uchate. The liberated person has no attachment for anything material or sense gratification. He understands that everything is connected with the Supreme Personality of God, that everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he does not give up anything. There is no question of renouncing anything, because the Paramahamsa knows how to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Originally, everything is spiritual, nothing is material. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, also it is explained that a Mahabhagavata, a highly advanced devotee, has no material vision. Stavara Jungama Dekke na Dekke Ta Murti Sarvatravai Nuja Ishtadeva Spurti. Although he sees trees, mountains, other living entities moving here and there, he sees all as the creation of the Supreme Lord, and with reference to the context, he's only the creator, not the created. In other words, he no longer distinguishes between the created and the creator. He sees only the Supreme Personality of God in everything. He sees Krishna in everything, everything is Krishna. This is oneness. Translation: when the soul exists for sense gratification, he creates different desires, and for that reason becomes subjected to designations. But when one is in the transcendental position, he is no longer interested in anything except fulfilling the desires of the Lord. this verse is the opposite of the previous verse, which described the position when one is free from designations and one sees oneness rather than difference. So, this is the position of a person in the material world, in which, due to the desire for material enjoyment, the Atma has coverings on it, or upadis. Just as we have a fruit and it has a skin on it, a covering on it. And so the soul develops these coverings. But on a fruit we have a material covering which you can see and then you can peel off very easily. So the covering on the soul is not gross, it is very subtle. And it is very difficult to peel that off. In fact, it is so difficult that most of the jivas remain in the material world forever with this covering on them. And they never even realize it's there. And due to this covering, we are subjected to ignorance. All sorts of problems in the material world, material identification, karma, happiness and distress, repeated birth and death, etc. So all this is due to that upadi, or that covering. And as I said, difficult to get rid of that. So the spiritual processes are an attempt to get rid of that upadi. So we're supposed to understand we're not the body, we are a soul. But the upadi gets in the way. And it's very difficult for us to understand that. So the spiritual processes are there to get rid of that upadi. So as I explained the other day, jnana and yoga destroy that upadi, that is the whole subtle body, through different ways. And bhakti also does this, but in a different way, that is by engaging the senses. So the logic is, in the material world, because we have the upadi, we have to destroy it, somehow or other. So jnana and yoga attempt to do that directly. And in the process, one cannot simultaneously destroy and nourish the upadi. So the nourishment of the upadi takes place by engaging the senses and the mind, etc. So therefore, let us stop the senses, let us stop the mind, let us stop everything, intelligence, let us stop everything. Then it's easier to get rid of the upadis. But if we just try to get rid of the upadis and simultaneously engage everything, then we increase our upadis again, so we end up with no result. So the logic there is to stop everything and then work on this destruction. So that is what jnana and yoga attempt to do. So bhakti doesn't actually use that same process. The upadi means the and mind, and the senses, and sense objects, and intelligence, and ego. So, instead of stopping the use, they are engaged. They are used. So as we know, understand the mind is a friend or an enemy. You can use the mind in a good way or a bad way. So to a certain extent, the yogis and jnanis also realize that therefore they utilize the body and that the mind to concentrate and meditate, etc. But ultimately they stop the whole thing, they give up everything. So, to a greater extent in bhakti, these things are utilized. But the difference from material engagement is that the object is the Supreme Lord. Because the Supreme Lord is pure, then we do not get the same effects as concentrating on material objects. If we concentrate on material objects, we get greater bondage and more upadis. If we concentrate our mind on the Supreme Lord, the opposite happens. The upadis dissolve, even though we're still using the mind. So the mind doesn't function in the same way when we change the object. Of course, there's another point here. The reason we change the object is because we change the motive. So we have material objects as the focus of our mind and senses because we want to enjoy them. And we focus on the Lord, but we're not trying to enjoy the Lord. Of course you can do that, but then the Lord becomes a material object. So if we are thinking of the spiritual form of the Lord, we cannot enjoy that form. So, therefore we don't get the same results because the motive behind the focus on the objects is different. So we focus on the Supreme Lord, not with the idea to get enjoyment, but to give enjoyment, to serve the Lord. So these are opposite tendencies. So because of that, then the upadis do not increase, but rather they decrease, they get destroyed. Okay? So that is how the process of bhakti works. Because of our intention to please the Lord, using the senses and the mind and intelligence, upadis do not increase, but rather they decrease, and ultimately they are completely destroyed. So that is the way in which bhakti works. So therefore, real renunciation or vairagya means not to renounce all objects or the use of the senses and mind, but rather to utilize objects using the senses and the mind for Krishna's enjoyment. And so that is called yukta vairagya. It is called vairagya not because we stop using the senses and mind, but we do not use them for ourselves or our own enjoyment. We use them for the Supreme Lord. So that is called yukta vairagya. And yukta means engaged or connected with the Lord. A nirbandha Krishna sambandhe, a determination to relate to Krishna. So the other type of renunciation that is practiced along with jnana and yoga is called falgu vairagya, or false renunciation, in which one rejects the workings of the senses, and one rejects the objects of this material world. We renounce everything, the vishaya. So this type of thing is called falgu vairagya. It looks like it is renunciation, but it is called false renunciation. Why? Because it's not connected with the Lord. So we are rejecting things, but we are not offering everything to the Supreme Lord. So we go halfway, in other words. We reject material things, but we don't recognize who is the source of everything. So, therefore the devotees practice bhakti and concentrate on the Supreme Lord with the idea not of enjoying, but giving enjoyment to the Supreme Lord. And therefore that process destroys all the upadis. So this is a more practical way for the jiva to destroy the upadis. It's easier. This is mentioned in chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita. And there, Krishna says it's very difficult for the jiva who is embodied to carry out the process of jnana and try to renounce everything and stop the senses. So therefore he recommends the process of bhakti. So, in that position, when one destroys all the upadis, then the previous verse mentioned that it is like waking up from a dream. We don't have that false identity anymore. So we do not see things in terms of identification with the body. We see things in terms of the soul. Of course, on two levels we have the realization in jnana and yoga where you realize atma, and then we have the realization in bhakti where you realize not only the soul but the Supreme Lord. So if you carry out a difficult process of jnana or yoga, then you realize atma. And we'll find verses in the Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita in which it is explained, the results of this realization are explained. One sees everything equally, everything is oneness. The Brahmana and the chandala and the cow and the elephant and the dog and the dog eater are all one. One has equal vision towards everything. One is not disturbed in any situation of happiness or distress. Why? Because one is not attached to the material body. And one does not see differences in things because one is not looking at these material identifications. One's only looking at Atma. And one sees Atma everywhere. So, that is one vision. Then the vision of the Vaishnava is a little different. Yes, he also sees everything as one because he sees Atmas everywhere and doesn't identify with their bodies. But he also realizes that these Atmas are distinct entities, individuals. They're not all one. They're one in the sense that they are Atma, not material bodies, and that way they're all similar. But at the same time, he realizes they have distinct identities and therefore distinct destinies. And even spiritually speaking, they never disappear. They always remain individuals. And then he also realizes the Supreme Lord. So unlike the Jiva, the Supreme Lord is all-powerful, all-omniscient, etc. He knows everything, he can do anything, he can do the impossible. Unlike the Jiva, we can say that yes, the Lord is one with everything. Because everything is dependent on him. The Jiva, we cannot say that he's Jiva, the Jiva and the elephant, the dog, they can do everything. No, nothing is dependent on him. But Supreme Lord, everything is dependent on him. So the devotee can realize this. So then he has a vision of that type of oneness, where everything is related to the Supreme Lord. Not that everything is Atma, but everything is related to the Supreme Lord, because it's under the power and will of the Supreme Lord. And everything is reflecting the qualities of the Supreme Lord in some way, either directly or indirectly. And of course, when one develops bhava and prema, even the material things, the devotee will think of them in terms of a relationship with the Lord. In other words, on seeing different objects, it will remind him of the Supreme Lord or things related to the Lord. So he sees everything from a spiritual vision. Just as Lord Chaitanya, when he was in Puri, he saw the clouds, and then he remembered the color of Krishna, and then he entered into Krishna's pastimes. Or when he saw the sand dune, then he remembered Govardhan Hill, and he saw everything in Govardhan Hill pastimes. So he sees the material world simply as a spiritual world. So the distinctions disappear at that point for one person in prema. So this is distinctly different from the vision of the yogi or the jnani, who gets realization. And they think of Brahman as everything, and then the material world is like a dream, and therefore everything is Brahman, and everything else is false. So that's a little bit of a different vision, even though we can say they both have a vision of oneness. So that is how the difference disappears for the devotee of the Lord. For the jnani or the yogi, that disappears, the difference is a little different. The vision is different.
Tenth offense.
To
many
material attachments. Well, that is of course a general proposition, because obviously as long as we are practicing bhakti, that means we're still not on the pure stage. So we still must have some sort of material attachment of some sort. But if in the performance of bhakti we actually never give up that attachment, or even make a decision that it's wrong or it's bad, then simultaneously performing bhakti, we are willingly trying to engage in material enjoyment. That attitude will ultimately divide us, and we can't go both ways at once. In other words, we cannot decide to enjoy the material world and also give everything to Krishna. They're opposite directions. So a real devotee understands, even though he does have desires, that he understands that the real purpose is ultimately to give up those things. And so he makes a resolution as much as possible to do that, even though he's not pure. Yeah? But the other person, on the other hand, makes no such resolution. He doesn't care. So he thinks, I can do both things. So that doesn't really work, because we go in opposite directions, so we just cancel out our efforts.
And that's mission, the soul exists for that sense derivation. It's like everything is coming from the soul. We all know that the soul is completely different from this, away from the middle of it. How can we say that soul, it looks like as the soul is pointing to the internal senses, the soul is aloof from all the activities.
Well, the soul is a conscious entity, and therefore it has consciousness, it has a center of identity, and therefore it must have some sort of desires of some sort, some volition. So the volition can go two ways. It can choose to serve Krishna or not serve Krishna. If it doesn't want to serve Krishna, then of course it has two options, do nothing or enjoy in the material world. So immediately we get the enjoyment syndrome, then the only way we can enjoy in the material world, or the only way we can enjoy for ourselves, is to enjoy material objects. And therefore, to do that, the soul must develop the bodies of false identification. Otherwise, how are you going to enjoy it unless you identify it? So by identifying yourself as material, you can enjoy material objects. If you don't identify, you cannot enjoy it. So therefore, because of our desire to enjoy, we have these bodies.
Soul needs a body.
If it wants to enjoy in the material world. In spiritual body, if it wants to give the enjoyment to Krishna.
Yeah, but the body is a vehicle for self-realization.
Yeah, once we're here, we can use it. We can use it. So we use the mind and senses, that is called bhakti. Now, of course, if one is in spiritual, we don't have a material body, so we're simply operating with the spiritual body at that point. In the material world, yes, we use the body.
One is free from the body, then he's no more entangled,
If one's free from upadis, that means yes, no more subtle body, no more ahamkara, no more material desires, no more karma. That's free from upadis.
Prabhupada said that the senses should be utilized for fulfilling the desires of the Lord. How does one know what the desire of the Lord is? What the Lord desires not to do?
Oh, the Supreme Lord, in other words, we try to fulfill the desires of the Lord. What are the Lord's desires? That, of course, we don't know. Therefore, we have to go to Scripture. What is pleasing to the Lord? Does he want to eat meat or whatever? We don't know. So we have to go to Scripture to see what is pleasing to the Lord. We can't speculate on our own. Well, that is what the practice of sadhana is for, to increase that attraction for the Lord gradually. So we start out with faith, and this faith means a little bhakti and a lot of maya. But when we practice bhakti, then gradually the attraction dissipates and the attraction for the Lord increases. So at a certain point, it is mostly for the Lord and very little for the material world. So that is obviously a more favorable position. Then we do not feel distracted by anything in the material world, even though there is some little material impurity left. So the whole process of bhakti is gradually to increase that attraction for the Lord, and consequently decrease the attraction for material things.
One is influenced by false identification. He distinguishes between matter and spirit. But the identification is false. How does he identify the spirit?
Oh, well, what that means, obviously, that he just forgets. Obviously, he cannot even understand spirit anymore in that position. In other words, in a pure state, we identify
spiritually. When we're in the material state, then we differentiate. Instead of identifying spiritually, we identify materially. And then we don't have no awareness of the spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm. As you said, the scriptures give us so much of information about the desires of the Lord, but how does one know what one can do? And there is a limitation for everybody to do something. We cannot do all the things that are told in the scriptures. How to know?
Yeah, we can. So when the scriptures tell us we do certain things, we chant the name of the Lord. It's pleasing to the Lord. So we follow that. That's the main process, Yuga Dharma. And we have other processes also. Because we identify with it.
With the senses.
I am this body. These are my senses, and therefore I enjoy material objects with the senses. And that's my enjoyment, because I identify with the material body. Ultimately, ahankara is the first two body.
Even the objects come under the category. Material objects also come under the category.
Well, the tanmatras are subtle, so they're part of the body also. They're attached to the material body, sense objects, along with the subtle senses.
What comes to the true identification actually examined is in Yoga. When one comes to the true identification of the servant of the Supreme Lord, the true examined is much more than the identification of God.
Yeah, that is what we call bliss. The bliss is the result of serving the Lord. So the reason we get bliss is because the Lord is pleased. The Lord is pleased, then we're pleased. Does God have deities?
Huh? Desires?
Of course. That's what prema is. If the Lord doesn't feel anything, what's he going to do? Sit there? And we worship the Lord, and the Lord doesn't feel anything? What is that? Lord desires to please his devotees.
Yantra Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Bala Lakshman Maharaj ki
jai.
Mumbai Gaya Sri Madhyam Sri Prabhupada ki
jai.
Thai Gold Pramanam ki
Thank you.
பண்ணி